We're taking up the subject of charoses today. Yeah. Charoses is that mixture that's sort of like a dip. We use it as a dip. It's supposed to commemorate the mortar. It's made up of apples, crushed apples, dates, other things, nuts, wine, cinnamon sticks. Cinnamon is very important because, as we'll see, it's supposed to commemorate the mortar or the clay that the Jews used when they were doing the work on the buildings, construction work in Egypt. But the question is, what is the status of the charoses halachically? How does it fit into the laws that pertain to the evening? Is it a mitzvah? This is the question in the Mishnah. The Mishnah in Daf Kuf Yudalet of Pesachim talks about the order of the evening, and it mentions in the middle, Heviyu lefanav matzah v'chazeres v'charoses v'shnei tavshilin. They brought before the one who recited the Haggadah matzah, chazeres, that's the bitter herbs, and the charoses. So it mentions the charoses. It also mentions the two cooked dishes. So we have, interestingly enough, we also have the concept of the Seder plate. What is the idea of the Seder plate? Is that just a practical thing to have everything in front of you so that you don't have to wait? Or is that a halachic phenomenon, the Seder plate? Is there an obligation to have a Seder plate? The presence of a Seder plate is obligatory, as we'll soon see. And it has to do with the mitzvah of Sipur, that it has to be in conjunction with the objects of mitzvah. That you have to tell the story in an abstract way, but also with concrete illustrations, specifically the objects of mitzvah that communicate the ideas of the Pesach story. So therefore, you have to have all of the objects in front of you. That's the idea of the Seder plate. As far as the order is concerned, there's different orders. But the principle of the one of the Gra and the Rama, I believe it is that this is the principle that I use. That the order, there's no specific order in and of itself, but that you shouldn't violate the principle of Mavirin ala mitzvos, to pass over a mitzvah, because it's considered to be disrespectful. So that you have it arranged that the one that you'll be using first is first in line, so to speak. There's no specific mitzvah in terms of the order. The mitzvah is to have it on the table, so that you fulfill the requirement of, when you tell the story of CPATS and Shrine, you have these objects in front of you. That's the requirement. The order itself is not ma'akev, it's not determinative, it's not going to hold anything back. However, you should use a certain principle. There shouldn't be, everything on this night is Seder. The Seder is order. It should not be done in a disorderly way. So one simple principle is that which you're going to do first, by the order of their use, so to speak. Which would mean that the karpas, the vegetable and the salt water, would be first. Then the next thing you're going to be eating is the matzah. Then the next thing you're going to be eating is the moror, the bitter herbs, and the charoses, which goes with that. And then you have the bone, the shank bone, to commemorate the Paschal lamb, and the cooked object. I think most people use an egg to commemorate the chagiga, the carbon that was brought on the holiday. Then the Mishnah says, Afal pi she'ein charoses mitzvah, even though charoses is not a mitzvah. Rabbi Elezer bar Tzadok omer, Rabbi Elezer bar Tzadok says, mitzvah, it is a mitzvah. So we have a machlokas. We have an argument in the Mishnah as to whether the charoses is a mitzvah or not. The Rambam in his Pirush HaMishnayos, his explanation of the Mishnah, brings down the machlokas. And he says, according to Rabbi Elazar bar Tzadok, who says it's a mitzvah, L'daito shechayev adam levarech. According to his opinion, a person is obligated to make the bracha. Hashem k'dusham b'nzosav v'tzivanu al'chilas charoses. According to Rabbi Elazar bar Tzadok, but he says v'ein halacha, but this is not the halacha. So it would appear from his commentary on the Mishnah that the halacha is not like Rabbi Elazar bar Tzadok, and therefore it's not a mitzvah. But we'll soon see what he paskins in the Mishnah Torah. Now, the Gemara on Daf Kuf Tezayin takes up this argument. Afa pisha ein charoses mitzvah, even though the charoses is not a mitzvah. So the Gemara says, v'ilo mitzvah, if it's not a mitzvah, mishumai maisila. Well, what's he bringing it for? Okay. Rebami mishum kappa. So Rebami says it's because of kappa, which means that they thought there was something, some kind of an acid in the moror, which could be dangerous for a person, and this would serve as an antidote. That's that opinion. That is to say, you're right, it's not brought for any mitzvah purpose, but it's a practical purpose, that it serves as an antidote. Now, then the Gemara takes up Rabbi Elazar bar Tzadok. He says it's a mitzvah. So the Gemara asks, according to him, my mitzvah, what's the mitzvah? Rabbi Levi Omer, Rabbi Levi says, Zecher l'tapuach. It's a remembrance of the apple tree, which is to say, as Rashi explains, that tachas ha-tapuach, there's a pasuk. So we have a tradition that the women in Egypt, in a miraculous way, hold it a second, shehayu yoldos b'nehen sham, that the women would give birth to their children under the apple trees, below Etzev, without suffering, without pain. Shlo yakir v'hen mitzriyim, so that the Egyptians should not notice it. And it's based on the pasuk, tachas ha-tapuach orar tich. Okay, that's from Shir HaShirim, Perikas. All right, so then, according to this opinion, it's commemorating a miraculous aspect of the story, which is not brought down openly. The fact that the women gave birth under the apple trees, and this is a miracle, is not brought down openly. We'll see. Rabbi Yochanan Omer, Rabbi Yochanan says, Zecher Letit. It is a remembrance of the mortar, that is, that was used in the construction. Amar Abaya, Abaya said, Hilkach tzarech lakhuye v'tzarech l'smuche. Now what Abaya is saying is, apparently, that we should incorporate both ideas. Therefore you should make it tart, lakhuye zech l'tapuach, to make it tart as a remembrance of the tapuach. So we do, we put chunks of apple in it. V'tzarech l'smuche, and you should make it thick. Zecher letit, as a remembrance of the clay, of the mortar. So it would appear that according to Abaye, it really contains both elements, both ideas. Tanya Kavasi to Rabbi Yochanan, we learned in accordance, approved to Rabbi Yochanan, who says that it's for the mortar. Tavlin zecher letevin, charoses zecher letit. Spices. As a remembrance of the straw. Of course, they made the mortar with straw. So the spices would be a reference to spices like cinnamon stalks. Amar Rabbi Elazar bar Tzadok, Kachla Yomrim Tagrei Charach Shev Yerushalayim. Thus, this is a proof that it's a mitzvah. The vendors in Jerusalem would say, Bo Utzlu Lechem Tavlu L'mitzvah. Come and take the spices for the mitzvah. It's a reference to the mitzvah of charoses, proving the point that it's a mitzvah. So from the Gemara it would seem that we paskin like Rabbi Elazar bar Tzadok, that it is a mitzvah. Let's take a look at the Rambam. Perek Zayin Halacha, the Rambam Hilchos Chametz Matzah, Perek Zayin Halacha Yud Aleph. HaCharoses mitzvah midivrei sofrim. The charosis is a rabbinic mitzvah. Zecher letzit. So the Rambam paskins like Rabbi Elazar bar Tzadok that it is a mitzvah midrabanan, and it's also like Rabbi Yochanan, it's a commemoration of the mortar. Shayu ovdim bav Mitzrayim, that they labored in Egypt. The case had osa and osa, then he tells you how to make it. The different ingredients. Alright, I'm not going to... Alright, so he lists different ingredients that are used. That they took it and they crushed it and then they put some kind of a brine in it and then they put some spices in it. Kamotit, betevin. Now, after describing how you make it, he says, "Umavien osa al shulchan b'leil haPesach," and you bring it on the table on the night of Pesach. So, what is the mitzvah though? To just bring it on the table? He says it's a mitzvah. He tells you how you make it, and then he says you bring it on the table on the night of Pesach. Now, he doesn't mention anything about a mitzvah, other than bringing it on the table. Take a look at the next chapter though. In the next chapter, we see that according to the Rambam, you use it a great deal. Take a look at Perek Ches Halacha Beis, where he talks about Karpas. Maschil Umavarech Bar Pri Hadama. He begins and he blesses Bar Pri Hadama. Velokeach Yerek. He takes a vegetable. Umatabel Oso Becharoses. And he dips it in Charoses. Veyochel Kazayas. Hu V'cholam Asubinimo. And Yid Kazayas, him and all the people that are reclining with him. Interesting. Just a side point, it would seem, although he doesn't say it openly, I just get the sense that the Rambam would do Haseba for the Karpas. Although I'm not going to expand on it further. Because he says, Hu V'chala Masubinimo. The term Masubin, those who are reclining with him. It could be a general reference to the guests, but he uses the word Masubin. Whatever the case, that's not so important. But then he says, V'yachakach okrin ha-shulchan, milifnei ha-korei levada. Okay, then you have the removal of the table. Akiras ha-shulchan. So you see that according to the Rambam, the karpas was not dipped in salt water, as we do it. It was dipped in charoses. The Rambam in Halacha Ches. Bizman hazeh she'ein sham karbon. Nowadays we don't have a karbon. After he says the motzi, he repeats the bracha. He says the bracha rather of alachilas matzah. Umetavel matzah b'charoses v'yochel. He dips the matzah in the charoses and he eats it. Then he takes some maror. Then he makes the bracha of achilas mara, and he dips the mara in charoses. And he says he shouldn't let the mara tarry too long in the charoses, because it shouldn't lose its taste. So according to the Rambam, you should taste the mara, you should taste the bitterness. Then he says, v'zu mitzvah midivrei sofrim. This is a mitzvah midivrei sofrim. So you see that the mara is a mitzvah midrabanan, and you have to make a bracha on it. Thus, strengthening the question, well, how come there's no bracha for the charoses? It would seem that the Rambam paskins over here like Rabbi Elazar bar Tzadok. Then he says, V'chozei v'korech matzah u'maror. Then you make the sandwich of matzah and maror u'metavel b'charoses. And you dip it in charoses. So, it seems that everything you do, everything you eat on this night, is dipped into the charoses. So then the question is, what's the mitzvah? Is the mitzvah just put it on the table, or is the mitzvah to eat it via dipping? Mishnah says, the commentary of the Lecha Mishnah, he says that here he's paskening like Rabbi Elazar bar Tzadok. Contrary to what he said in the commentary on the Mishnah. Because there he said that according to Rabbi Elazar bar Tzadok, you have to make a bracha. And we don't paskin like him. So he's, first of all, here he's paskin like him. Second of all, but he doesn't say a bracha here. The Rambam does not mention that you say a bracha for charoses. And it appears, he says, that the Rambam changed his opinion. Nevertheless, you have to give a reason as to why you don't make a bracha on it. Since it's a mitzvah with the Rabbanan. And we make a blessing on... No, Morah today is Midr Rabbanan. The Morah today is not the Araisa. It's only the Araisa when it's together with the Karban Pesach. So he says maybe you want to differentiate and say that the Morah at least was the Araisa at the time of the Migdash. Nevertheless, and the Charoses was never a mitzvah the Araisa. But that's a very, very difficult... argument. Why should that make a difference? Because we make blessings on the Rabbanan, even that have no basis in the Oraisa. So that's his conclusion. I said, these are the questions we have to address. What is the mitzvah of Charoses? Why doesn't it get a bracha? Is the mitzvah to eat it? As seems to be the case in Perek Shemini, where he lists it together with all the other foods. Or the mitzvah is here, in describing it, he doesn't mention the idea of dipping. When he describes it in Perek Zayin, he just says to bring it on the table. So what is the idea of bringing it on the table? The Rav in the Sefer HaRei Kedem, this is not his own writing, these are notes from his Shiurim. He lays down a very, very important fundamental idea. But I'm going to explain it in my own words. And I'm going to relate it to a question. I think I raised this question the other day. That there's something very unique about the mitzvot of Pesach. And that is that they're all incorporated into a meal. We don't do it outside of a meal. All of the mitzvot of the evening are done in the framework of a meal, starting with Kiddush. Kiddush is the first of the four cups. And the din of Kiddush is that Kiddush has to be b'makom suda, where you have your meal. It has to inaugurate the Suda. Nevertheless, it's quite a long time until we actually eat, which you're not supposed to do. You're not supposed to have a delay. So what do you see? Is the Kiddush then to be considered at Vamakom Suda? The answer is yes, because it's a very unique kind of a Suda. The Suda itself is part of the mitzvah. It's part of the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. It incorporates the ideas of the evening. It is a seuda of cheres. That is, the reason why we're having the meal is to celebrate the cheres. He quotes the Rambam. The Rambam says that in every generation, a person is obligated to demonstrate as though he himself left Egypt. And he says, therefore, When he eats on this night, he must eat and drink derech eres. That the eating and drinking is derech eres. The idea of the sipur is incorporated into the meal. It's a special kind of a meal. So it's not merely a meal that we always have on Yom Tov. It's a separate kiyum in the sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim to have a special meal in honor of the Exodus. That's why, by the way, it's brought down that the minhag is to use your finest and your best, more so than at any other time, even more so than Shabbos and Yom Tov. Because normally you're not supposed to use the most lavish. You're supposed to hold something back as a remembrance of the destruction of the temple. But tonight they say you should use your finest because it's for the purpose of cheres. Your best dishes, whatever it is, that you consider your best, that you save for the most significant occasion, this is when it should be used. That's because you're fulfilling a mitzvah of demonstrating the cheres. So the Yisud itself incorporates the story of the Exodus and the fact that we became free people. That's why he says that the Shulchan Orech, the set table on this night, is part of the mitzvah. That is to say, getting back to the Seder plate, it's a mitzvah to have a Seder plate, not just so that the objects will be there, when you talk about it. If that were the case, then it would just be a practical thing. You wouldn't have to have the plate and in a certain order and all of that. You just have to have access to the objects. So you could have them in a different room. Let's say you had them in the refrigerator all in order, and when you needed them, you took them out. If it was merely because you have to demonstrate the ideas through the mitzvos, you wouldn't have the concept of Shulchan Orech. The set table is because it's part of the suit itself. That the Suda has to be designated as a Suda of Cheros. So that's why you have the objects over there. The object, each one, tells a story. It commemorates the evening. Now, that's why he says that the Rambam says you bring out the Shulchan after the Kiddush. Because the purpose of Kiddush is to be Koveya. Zman Cheruseinu, and so on and so forth. So the Kiddush establishes, designates the meal as a seuda of Cheirus. So then you bring out the objects. These are the objects that reflect the ideas of the seuda. Let me read to you what he says about Charoses. He quotes the Rambam in Charoses, that the Rambam says that it's a mitzvah, midivrei sofrin, zeichel letit, and so forth. And and they bring it on the table on the night of Pesach. Now the Rav says, it's clear from the words of the Rambam, the ikar mitzvasa shel charoses, that the essential mitzvah of charoses is eina betivul o bachila. It's not the dipping, even though he says to dip with it. But the essential mitzvah is not the dipping, nor eating it. Ela bi'etzem ha'avah ala shulchan. But just in the bringing it. The bringing it per se constitutes the mitzvah. Why? This makes sense only if we say that there's a special mitzvah, that having a suda is part of the mitzvahs of the night of Pesach, and this meal has to incorporate the objects. The set table, the Seder plate, is a constituent element of the suda, and gives that suda the character of being a suda of Cheres. Now he ties it in with the Seder plate. Yeah, he says, well, that, now you can understand. It's what's the point of having something on the table in front of you? You're not going to use it. These roa, the shank bone and the egg, which is to commemorate. That only makes sense if there's a concept that it can relate to. That's what he says. He quotes the Rambam. Mevi'in ala shulchan, shnei mine basar. Well, the Rambam held you had two kinds of meat. We don't use two kinds of meat. We use meat and egg. Echad zecher lePesach, v'echad zecher lChagiga. One to commemorate the Pesach and one for the Chagiga, the holiday sacrifice. He says, the Gama Shnei Tavshilin, Ika Mitzvasan Bahava. What's the mitzvah? You don't eat it. Although, as we'll soon see, we do have a custom of eating the egg. But the shank bone you don't eat. So what's the purpose then? Just to have it in front of you? Yep, just to have it in front of you. Because it is one of the objects of the meal. That is to say, you display the objects of the meal in order to communicate the ideas and establish the character of the meal. And it doesn't mean that you have to eat every one. You'll see, each one plays a role in the meal though. He says that it would appear from this to be etzem havar la shulchan l'suda, that with the bringing of it on the table for the meal, yesh kiyum shel sipur yetzias mitzrayim, you fulfill a objective of telling the story of the Exodus. So there, he continues, mayata nira od, it seems even more, the sphere le Rambam, that the Rambam holds, the Mekivin de Beleil Pesach, since on the night of Pesach, there's a Kiyum of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, Beguf HaAvar Al HaShulchan. You fulfill the mitzvah of telling the story simply by bringing it on the table. With the two cooked things, cooked objects, and with the Charoses. Harei Kamo Ken Yesh Kiyum Shel Avar Al HaShulchan, you also have this fulfillment of bringing on the table. This applies to all the things that you eat. That's the idea of the Seder plate. That the placing on the table, which designates the meal, that is fulfills a kiyum of Sipur. The vegetables, the matzah, the maror. And therefore, the din is to bring them before the meal and before the Haggadah. Except, he says, that with charoses and the two tavshilin, the entire mitzvah is just bringing it on the table. That is, the other objects, matzah, maror, we eat. But since it has a use and a function, there's also a kiyum of bringing it on the table. But, so you have two purposes. But when it comes to the charoses and the two tavshilin, it only has one purpose, to be placed on the table. Yeah, continuing now in the Harei Kedem, so the Rav explains that there is a halachic element about the bringing of the table. That the bringing of the table is not just preparing, but it's part of the mitzvah of the Suda. So therefore it has to come after Kiddush. That is, if he brought the table in the afternoon before he made Kiddush, it wouldn't achieve its purpose. Because he hasn't made Kiddush yet. First he has to designate the Suda through Kiddush. And that's what he says, that according to the Rambam, if he brought the charoses out during the day, let's say you set the table during the day with the charoses, you wouldn't have the kiyum of charoses, according to the Rambam. You wouldn't have the mitzvah. Because it's the whole purpose is to bring it on the table. And when you do so, it fulfills a kiyum of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. That's only after Kiddush. That's why he says the language of the Rambam, Umevi'in osar al ha-shulchan b'leilei ha-pesach. And you bring it on the table on the nights of Pesach. And that is true about anything which we eat on that night. Anything we eat on that night, there's a mitzvah to bring it on the table, to function as the designators of the Seuda. And that has to be after Kiddush. That's an important point. You cannot do this. That's a separate mitzvah of Havah al HaShulchan. Which fulfills the requirement of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim through the vehicle of the meal, of the Passover meal. The Passover meal is unique, it's different, it's not like an ordinary holiday meal. It is an expression of the Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. So I just want to expand on this a little bit. How does this work? And if the essential mitzvah is just to bring it, so what is the role of dipping with the charoses? What role does that play? Does it play any role at all? So it seems to me that what is the idea that if you put it on the table, it plays a role? How does it play a role? It becomes part of the Suda. It plays a role, yeah, it plays a role in Sipur only because it's part of the Suda. That is to say, if there was no concept of a Suda on that night, and we just had to tell the stories, just by putting things in front of you when you tell the story, you wouldn't fulfill that. There's no mitzvah of just having the objects on a table in front of you. Having it on the table in front of you is because you're making it a part of the meal. So these objects, to the extent that they're part of the meal, that is a fulfillment of the bringing it on the table. That makes it play its role, fulfill its function. So therefore, it seems to me that the real mitzvah of charoses is that it should be part of the meal. It should be on the table. And that serves its function of reminding you of the labor, of the mortar. But the dipping is the using it. The more you use it, the more you're connecting it to the meal. The more you're reinforcing the whole idea of bringing it. That is, when you're bringing it, what is the idea of bringing it? You're putting out those things that are part of the meal. So how is it part of the meal? The shank bone is also part of the meal, as you will see. Now, I'm not saying that if you put out different things for a meal, it's part of the meal. It doesn't mean, even if people don't eat, for example, you have like a smorgasbord or something. So you'll put out different things. Doesn't mean that everything will be eaten. Still, it's part of the meal. You're presenting the objects of the meal. It establishes the character of the meal. So the question is, what about the shank bone? We don't eat the shank bone. You're not allowed to eat the shank bone. Yeah, but you see that it does play a role in the meal, because part of the Haggadah is to explain the mitzvos. Matzah zushanu ochlin, right? What is the purpose of the matzah? What is the purpose of the mora? We also discussed the purpose of the Karban Pesach. So the shank bone is to serve as a reminder for the Karban Pesach, and the idea of discussing the Karban Pesach is part of this meal. It is part of this meal. Now, we don't point to we don't point to the shank bone. Because of other factors, that is to say, when it comes to the Karban Pesach, there's a certain amount of ambivalence. That is, we have to have something which serves as a reminder. However, we also have to be careful, because there's a prohibition of having sacrifices today outside of the Mikdash. So therefore, we can't do anything which would give the impression that this is sacrificial meat. So therefore, when it serves as a reminder, it reminds us of the carbon, and we talk about the carbon at the meal. That's the role that it has at the meal. So now it has a role at the meal. Since we're going to be talking about the Karban Pesach, and we need a reminder of that, so this has a function at the meal. Not everything at the meal has to have the function of being eaten. Because the meal is more than just food. It's more than just chewing and swallowing. The meal is discussion. There's a lot of other things you do at a meal. Now, it's interesting, in that sense, the other tavshil, also plays a role in the meal in the same way as being a zecher, since discussing what took place, what takes place, and so forth on Pesach is part of the meal, so that too is considered a kiyum. It's interesting that we have a minog. It's brought down in the Shulchan Aruch, the Mishbura, Tzarech Lechol as HaBeitza B'Suda, that one should eat the egg. Our custom is to use eggs. You don't have to eat it. There's no mitzvah to eat the egg, but there is a custom, and it makes sense. He says you should eat it. Why? Zecher L'Chagiga. As a Zecher, Shoyis in Echel is Kodem HaPesach. The Chagiga was eaten before the Karban Pesach. And that's why he says you have to prepare two. If you're preparing in advance, you need an egg for the first night, an egg for the second night, because you're going to be eating it. So there is a kiyum in eating it. Now, let's say you didn't eat it, but you still fulfilled it, because the basic mitzvah is to place it on the table. However, in terms of it being a zecher, that I think is the idea. In terms of fulfilling its role as a zecher, the more you use it, the more it's a zecher. So with regard to the shank bone, you can't eat it. But we do talk about the idea of the, it reminds us of the Karban Pesach, and we discuss the Karban Pesach in terms of what our forefathers ate. With regard to the charoses, so then we use it as a dip. And every time there's an opportunity to dip it, we use the charoses. So that increases, that strengthens the idea of the zecher by using it. I think that's the idea. Let me modify what I said before. What the mitzvah is to bring it on a table. And anything which is on the table fulfills its purpose, because now it's part of the meal and it contributes to the Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. But there's two different levels of achieving the zecher, the remembrance. One is simply by having it in front of you, part of the meal. But of course, the more you use it, the greater the zecher. There's a kiyum of zechira in terms of the usage. That's, I think, is the idea. Not so much before, I was saying that the dipping reinforces the hava. It makes, by making it more a part of the meal. I'm saying a little bit differently now. I'm saying it's the very use of the thing itself. The use of the object increases its function. And then you see that, for example, by the matzah. The Rav said that anything which we eat that night, we have to have, we have the fulfillment of bringing it on the table. It should be on the table. Now, what's the idea of eating it? Oh, when we're eating it, it fulfills the purpose of Sibri Yitzias Mitzrayim. Through eating the matzah, you're engaging in the story because the matzah reflects ideas of the story. So there's two different levels of the function of the object in terms of remembering. One is merely having it in front of you. However, the act of eating it is a greater level of involvement in the ideas that it's related to. That's the pattern. So with charoses, there's no mitzvah of achila. It's not like maror. So the basic mitzvah is to bring it on the table. However, there's a greater kiyum of zechira when it's used. Every time you use it, even though you're not eating it directly, it doesn't matter, but it's serving as an article of achila, as a food object, as a dip. So the utilization, the usage of the object increases its role as a vehicle of sipur. And therefore, it's a good idea to eat the beitza. That's why we eat the beitza, the egg. Because while it's sufficient to just put it on the table, because the basic mitzvah is to bring it on the table, but since bringing it on the table is to communicate ideas that pertain to it, so it's a greater degree of communication when you actually partake of it and you eat it. Interesting though, everything you do at the Seder and all the things that you eat should be accompanied by thought. You should pause and think and talk it out, or at least be cognizant of what the point of it is, because it's a different kind of an eating. The eating on the night of Pesach, the eating at the Seder, has to do with communicating thoughts and ideas through these objects. They assume a special significance. Of course, the shank bone, you can't eat. That's a prohibition. But that's due to the fact that's also teaching. That's also ideas. The idea is that we don't have the Migdash, and normally we bring a sacrifice. But we do expect that the Migdash will be restored at a certain time in the future. That's why we have to keep these ideas alive, because they're still relevant to us. And that's the Zecher. We treat it in accordance with what the halacha would demand, that we can't treat anything else as though it were a real karban, but it can serve the purpose of remembering. So that's its role. That's the role that it plays at the Seder. It has a role to play at the Seder, therefore it has to be brought, and it fulfills the mitzvah of Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim through the vehicle of the Suda. Right, right. There's no specific bracha now, as we can see, because there's no particular mitzvah. There's no mitzvah to eat it. But rather, it is subsumed under the broader mitzvah of Higadat HaLemincha B'Yom Ahu. It's part of Haggadah. It's part of Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim. And there's different aspects to Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim. So, this contributes to the fulfillment of Sipur via the mechanism of the Seuda. It's a special Seuda which communicates the story, communicates that we're free people, and accomplishes the idea that Seuda is also the Seuda of Hodah, to give thanks and praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to celebrate. It's a celebratory type of a phenomenon, to celebrate the freedom through a special meal that's being held to, as we said, to commemorate. That's why there's no specific bracha. With regard to maror, there's a bracha because that's a separate mitzvah to eat maror. It's a mitzvah of achila. It could be that the Rambam held originally in the Pirush HaMishnayos, in the commentary of the Mishnah, that according to Elazar Bar Tzadok, it was a mitzvah to eat the charoses. It's a mitzvah of achila. But then he backed away from that, and in the Mishnah Torah, he's presenting it as a mitzvah, but it's a new idea now. It is a mitzvah to be an object of the Seder meal, and thereby to communicate Acheres through that way. I'm just throwing out a possibility, and that is that the maror is the bitterness. That's an abstract idea. And the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim has to be done on different levels. Because it's not enough to just tell it in the abstract. It's got to be in a manner which really makes an impact upon you. You have to be affected by it. So that just to talk about bitterness in the abstract is not enough. We have a concept of bitterness, but the human mind requires a specific. Well, what are you talking about? It requires a particular. So in that sense, I would say that the mortar is the particular. That it's one thing to say that they afflicted, that these people went through affliction. But you don't have a clear idea. You can't relate to it until you see the particular. Then you see pictures of people working on quarries and hard work, slave labor, a chain gang, that kind of thing. So I think that's the idea, that the moror is the particular expression of the, I'm sorry, the charoses is the particular expression of the moror. And it's true that the charoses tastes sweet. And even the moror, though, does not necessarily have to be bitter. That's only if you use horseradish. But if you use romaine lettuce, it doesn't taste bitter. And you use endives. Some people even use iceberg lettuce. Whatever. The question. So the fact that something doesn't taste bitter, how do you fulfill moror? You see that the kiyum of the mitzvah has to do with mental associations, not with the physical taste. Now, it's better, obviously, if you taste something and you actually experience the bitterness in a sensual way, but that's not an absolute requirement. It's an idea. The fulfillment of the remembrance of the bitterness is through the, let's say, romaine lettuce. Romaine lettuce is something which is associated with bitterness because if it stays in the ground too long, it becomes bitter. But it doesn't mean, so you're eating something which your mind tells you now to associate back to the bitterness. That's the kiyum. It doesn't reside in the sensual phenomenon itself. That is, if a person just eats the horseradish and doesn't have any thoughts, so he really, I mean, technically he fulfilled the mitzvah, but he really doesn't partake of the idea. On the other hand, if you eat the romaine lettuce, and you know that the reason that you're eating it is because this has a certain association with bitterness, and you have the chain of thought, then you fulfill the mitzvah. It's a mental, abstract type of a phenomenon, rather than a purely sensual one. So therefore, now that you see the charoses, if you do not stop and think what the ideas are, then you don't have the concept. If you do, it doesn't matter that it's sweet. There's nothing in the actual taste that demands that it be a bitter thing. It's the idea. It calls to mind the idea of cement, that these people had backbreaking kind of labor. That's what they went through. That's what it has to do. Then it fulfills its purpose.